हरे
O Bulla the Bharataras, thy seven principal officers of state, namely the governor of the fortress, the commander of forces, the chief judge, the general in interior command, the chief priest, the chief physician, and the chief astrologer, have not, I hope, succumbed to the influence of thy foes, nor have they, I hope, become idle in consequence of the wealth they have earned. So in government officers and all that, then the leader has to always see that they don't become idle, because they get money and then they become lazy. You know, it becomes comfortable for them because they're in a position, they do well, you know, life is regular, they manage things, it becomes very nicely developed, then they become lazy, right? Or, even worse, then they start to cheat, right? So these ones, so here generally they cheat big, so then they go in with the enemy, right? But people below them also have to be checked. They generally cheat by trying to take extra money and stuff like that from the people. Does that make sense? Like that. So one always has to watch. It's not you've set it up, so therefore now it runs. You set it up, and then you always have to check, right? By checking, then it will run nicely. If you just leave it, then the problem is it'll start to fall apart, right? It'll go in a direction that doesn't reflect the mood that you want it to. Does that make sense? Mood's the most important. If the mood is there, then everything else will be in line with that. It'll have the proper form, right? But if the mood is not right, then it will be different than what you want, right? Does that make sense? The management you set up has a particular mood. How you deal, you know, what are the value systems, what are the mechanics on how you go through getting things effectively done, right? Does that make sense? It's not just a matter of getting something done. It's a matter of getting it done in the mood that you want, because if depending upon the mood that you use and you're getting it done, certain relationships will be increased, certain ones will be decreased. Right? So the idea is those who are pious, those who are devotional, those relationships increase, and those that are inimical and those that are improperly behaved, your relationship with them decreases. Right? It becomes more based on fear. Right? Does that make sense? Right? But if you don't deal properly, you don't watch, then what will happen is the relationships between your managers then will be with their people they deal with based on fear, which is not what a leader bases his position on. Does that make sense? It has to be based on a respect of that they like you as a person. Otherwise, as long as they do that, it goes well. When that stops happening, it's lost, right? You can just see in history, is as long as the leader inspired his people, then it was progressing. And as soon as he stopped inspiring them, then it started to fall apart, right? And if then he catches it, corrects it, then it goes nice. But if he doesn't, then it's a matter of time before, you know, he's sitting on some funny island drinking, you know, horse urine and stuff like that. Yes?
You just mentioned that who are inimical, with them the relationship should decrease. And also, Maharaj, you had mentioned before that says those who are friends, you keep them close, and those who are your enemies, you keep them even closer. Mm-hmm. So how these two things go?
I was meaning here were people who are, you know, the impious and those kind of people. That means, see, the worst enemy is not someone who's impious, because how much can an impious person do? At some point he'll be destroyed by his own impiety. Until he's destroyed, he can make a lot of trouble for you, but he will be destroyed. The real enemy is someone who is pious, well-behaved, cultured, controlled their anger, all the good qualities that you need for a leader, and they're against you. That person's trouble, the most trouble, because they're powerful, because they are religious, therefore they will have power. The other one has temporary power. Duryodhana makes trouble, but it's just a matter of time before he extinguishes himself. Does that make sense? So therefore, it's more of a problem. Both are a problem, but one's more. So depending on what it is, you keep it close. If the other person, you can do that, you keep them close. Close means you watch like that. And then you're, by conciliatory, you know, words or gifts, you keep them happy, because they're materialists, so you give them material facilities, they stay close. They stay nice. They work for you. But you always have to watch. Just that they're working for you today doesn't mean that they can't be corrupted by someone else. If you're giving someone money and that's their loyalty, then someone else gives them more money, the loyalty goes that way. So you always have to watch. Does that make sense? But what we're meaning is they're inspired not because of their relationship as a person. They're inspired because of their relationship based on facilities. Position, facilities, wealth. Does that make sense? Well, the other is people are following because they like you. That was the difference what you were meaning there. Does that make sense? Your managers like you, you know, you have well-wishers, the people like you, like Yudhishthir. So then they're going to follow him, right? Yudhishthir goes to the forest, the people go with him, right? Another manager like that, they kick him out, then people, okay, who's the next guy? You understand? You know, because they don't really care. So does that make sense? Okay, yeah.
You spoke the other day about truthfulness, and it's also said that only things which are, you know, palatable should be spoken.
Yeah.
Because if you say you have a big pimple in your face and you look really horrible, people will not appreciate.
Unless they're a punk.
Yeah.
But wow, fabulous pimple. Oh yeah, it's so pussy.
The quality of a Brahmin is to be truthful. So sometimes try to be objective or try to be truthful, but you see that truthfulness is not appreciated because it's not, a lot of times it's not perceived as palatable by the people who you're talking to, because it has to do with them or their behavior or the situation. But then if you, you know, try to put it in a non-confrontational way, but at the same time might not be really getting across, might not be very effective, so there's some pain involved in presenting unpalatable truth. So if you could give some hints on how that, you know, can happen, so that the people are not, usually they find fault in the detail, not in the person. They know they're at fault. It's just a matter of how you go about it and how you like most of the cases are thrown out of court because of technicality, not because they're not valid. The person is guilty as hell, but because of, you know, somebody tapped the phone and didn't have a permit for it, the whole case is thrown out. So a lot of times we get stuck up with technicalities.
Because in here is, means if you're dealing with laws, then it'll be straight technicalities, rules. If you're dealing with relationships, then the technicalities are the mood. Your time, your place, your circumstance wasn't right. Like that. It was the right activity, right, wrong place. You know, or right place, right, you know, mood, wrong time, or right time and place, wrong mood. You know, like this. So, because the verb requires all three to be in place to work. Like that. So then that is, if you're dealing with inanimate objects, you just make sure that it works and it's there. But when you're dealing with people, then it's the relationship. So the relationship doesn't matter, then it may be rough. But, you know, that's the, how you say, one has to calculate that. So basically now there's going to be pain involved, as you're saying, but then the first option of the pain is your pain rather than the other person's. Because if you go through the difficulty of saying it nicely, saying it properly, and all that, then the relationship continues very nicely, though you may be having a difficulty. But it's much easier to deal with your difficulty, because at all times, at all places, you can, you know, talk to yourself, work your own mind out. It's much easier to work yours out than others. So that's always the first option. That also then brings about the element of austerity. It also brings about the element of sacrifice. So there are always higher principles. To say it in a way that is more easy for yourself then reduces the austerity and the sacrifice. But it may appear that efficiently it may get something done, but then that efficiency may only be in the observable, not in the relationship. So since the whole idea is that you're going to have to work with people, live with people, and that you always have to put that as a prominent, you know. If it's a real emergency, then you might finesse the detail for a principle. You know, it's just like, you know, there's a car coming, and so therefore you take someone who you always have to deal with very delicately and never touch them very strongly or speak, and just come and shove them out of the way so that they might even get injured, but it would be better than them getting killed. So then they might be, you know, does that make sense? But it's only in emergency. If you have time, then time is used.
Well, just like the management example the other day we were speaking, so you're using harsh words, and some people may perceive that as very confrontational and as very objectionable, and they say this is the wrong place, the wrong format, the wrong time, even though the content is totally clear and obvious.
Mm-hmm.
But people will take offense because mm-hmm. the culture of accepting constructive criticism is somehow non-existent
mm-hmm.
in
mm-hmm.
many sections mm-hmm. of society. They just, like, I deal with artists a lot, music label, and for them it's just not perceivable that they're not the greatest, not the best, not the...
They always have to be special.
The most good-looking. So you have to deal with them, you know, the box has to be big.
Yeah.
But then you're dealing in management where you think, like, okay, let's put it all out on the table and make the plan and... Like they do the war plan, you know, you move the soldiers, you do this from here to there, okay, cut your losses here, do that there. And people are just not rational, very, very emotional.
Mm-hmm.
So
the more the emotion, the more you have to make the box bigger. And the less emotional, the smaller the box can be. That's why like-minded people are who you want to work with. You know, the Vedic concept of a committee is a group of like-minded people who have different expertises but the same mentality. They run things. The modern is I don't trust this person, so put in people that I know oppose the idea, and in my mind that will make good management. But that concept always is coming from people who don't know what management is and wouldn't know if it came up and slapped them in the face like that. No real manager would ever make a committee like that or consider that it would be useful, because they will never be able to even come to, their details are so different, they won't be able to see the principles they work on. Therefore, you see, when you have committees like that, they absolutely don't do anything. Or they take some side thing that has absolutely nothing to do with reality and fight for weeks over the chemical content of, you know, potato chips like that. So that's all the depth their life has in that environment, because nobody can connect, so they can't go deep. So it will stay shallow. Their rules will be shallow, their methods will be shallow, everything will be shallow, it will be very generic. It will never accomplish even what they want to accomplish, which is, you know, the care for the individual. It won't happen, it can't. Because you'd have to have a whole group that cares for people in the same way, then you could establish that. But each one cares in a different way. So the point is in this forum here, it's an educational forum, so we're dealing, in other words, you take the hint from this. It's the same method, is you're dealing with the third party, right? That always works. And nobody in this audience, we're saying, has this problem. And even if they do have the problem, we're not addressing their problem in it. We're addressing a third party. Right? So that third party means you have an escape. Your ego has an escape. But your intelligence and mind have to accept that it's correct. It's logically presented. You give all the reasons and moods behind it, so then the mind accepts it. So now it's just a matter, if it's you're doing it, then your ego gets bent out of shape. Then the tendency is the mind will throw it off, and it will then, you know, take the intelligence out of line. But if it's a third party, then you've accepted it. Even though you may not do it or apply it in your life, you've accepted it. And if that happens enough, after a while, you start seeing it in your own perspective. But you have to give it time. Then it comes around that it's yours. Oh, you know, I was thinking, and so I came up with this. Even if you've talked about it for months or years. And when it does, then that's good. You don't want to say, oh, well, that, yeah, I've been telling you that for years, because then you're dealing with the ego again. So it's always easier to keep your ego down, that, okay, I told them that, but they say it's their idea. Great. The point is they have thought of it, so before they didn't perceive it, now they do perceive it, so they do get credit. So why do we need for our own ego to get the credit that maybe we're the cause of them understanding it and therefore getting the credit? So that also then adds to the austerity, you know, then that's charity, you know, sacrifice, charity. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So when if I was saying these same things to those managers that I'm talking about, it would be talked about nicely, and you deal with third party. So I wouldn't present it like this to them, because if you did, it would not work like that, you know.
Now, in the real world, if a company or organization or a religious organization is as disorganized or dysfunctional, like what we're dealing with here, the middle and upper level managements would just be dismissed. Everybody will be fired, and just new people will be put in place. But this is a different situation. So what is the Vedic understanding and procedure for rectifying a dysfunctional situation? I mean, usually if a king is not doing his job, somebody else just marches in and just takes over because the thing is not happening.
Yeah. But leadership is replacing non-leadership. The point is you get leaders from leaders. Life comes from life. A leader means he's alive. You know, a manager means he can move material energy and get the result you want. Right? But leader means there's life, there's a plan, there's a vision, there's a plan, you're dealing with people. You know how to inspire the people to do that plan. And the more it's leadership, the more you can inspire for longer. And the less means, in other words, your Brahminical, your Kshatriya will take it the farthest, the Vaishya will take it a certain degree, you know, as long as the profit is there. And if you come up with a new plan to increase the profit, it will move again. But if that runs out, then, you know, been there, done that, then a new guy will come up with a plan and they'll follow them. So it has to come from leadership, has to come from life. So for us, life is coming from Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. It's coming from the Chit potency. Means just that alone itself, what you've mentioned, should give people strong faith in the spiritual movement. Because any other organization, if it ran the way we did, would not function at all and would not expand. It couldn't maintain, let alone expand. So one has to appreciate the power of the, you know. In other words, if you really want to know, then, you know, when you go in the big kind of like the barn-like structure like that, and there's five guys standing there, the guy in the middle, he's the GBC here. Like that. He's running this place. So, you know, so that's how, then you can have faith that actually, you know, otherwise how could it function? Anyone who knows administration knows God's got to be doing something, because otherwise this is not, it doesn't work. It's like bumblebee, right? Bumblebee technically shouldn't be able to fly, right? The wings are too small for it, but it does. Why? Because God made it that way. He's put a potency there that bumblebees get around. So in the same way, as a potency is there, it's working, you know.
So it's good in a sense because governments don't perceive us as a threat because
like
we don't pick up our phones and we don't, you know, really respond and relate with the
world. I was told that that the FBI started checking us out, and when they found we didn't answer the phones, and when they go to our place, no one could give them an answer. I don't know. Then they understood these guys aren't going to do anything.
That's not a threat. Yes.
Yeah. So,
but for the people who live inside the organization, it might be perceived not as a blessing, but more as
A disturbance.
A disturbance. Yes.
Yeah.
Like, so then I see now, like almost on a weekly basis, some devotee comes to me and says, "Look, we've created this new society. Who is gonna, you know, do Varnashram or gonna do communication or this or that, and then we're gonna somehow link it with ISKCON or I don't know." And I'm just not too excited about it because I'm saying it's not about the box, it's what's happening inside
the box.
Inside the box.
Yeah.
That's what's really the rasa, the juice, that's what's really counting. So.
Yeah.
Krishna consciousness, as you were saying, spreading somehow, mysteriously. So that's proof for Krishna's potency.
It's like in Russia, the one guy was, how you say? The devotees, they were coming along, and I think they were. I'm not sure. They were going out for something. They were on the train, you know. And as they were going on the train, then this man came up to them with these Xeroxed ISKCON books. And he started to sell the devotees books. And they ask him, "Where do you get, what are you doing?" He says, "I'm distributing books." He says, "Oh, you're with a temple or that?" He says, "Temple? What's temple?" You know, it's like that. He says, "So how do you know about distributing books?" He says, "I found one of these books, I think Bhagavad Gita, and in there, then Prabhupada's saying how, you know, the perfection of human life is to distribute this knowledge and this and that. So I took the book, I Xeroxed it, I'm distributing it." He didn't, and he was shocked to know there were devotees, there were temples, there was a whole organization. All he knew is there was this one book, and that was it. Like that. So, therefore, God's in charge. Like that.
I have heard, what's the difference between leader and manager? So, manager, he works with people, and then leader, he works for people.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's a nice one. That's a quotable, yeah. Even managers who are successful with people work with people. People who can't work with people manage go-downs. That's a lot of management, you know, like you're running a BBT go-down, all the books coming in, that's big management. But it's easier to manage books than just one or two guys, you know, that hate you than have to have deal with 100 guys that hate you.
And on the point also you were saying how important is the personal relationship. So nice example is how Bata runs his place, or was running. But if he starts his factory, so he doesn't build only a factory, he builds a whole city. So then the laborers, they have place to live, they have hospitals, they have schools, and they don't need to go anywhere else, and they are like, they have everything inside. So by that, he gives them security, and they have no needs to go anywhere, nor for any other needs, because at the time, and everything is inside. So for them, they become very loyal, because he gives all the facility what they need, and like that, he just takes care of the masses of the people. So then, like that, he just maintains the laborers, and then they are very, they give their whole life to them.
Yeah, that's very good. So it's more like a kshatriya that somehow or another, you know, just did business, right? Shoes, okay. Yeah, that's a good point. Shelter is the main thing. The shelter, everything works. They are, I hope, all obedient to thee. Thy counsels, I hope, are never divulged by thy trusted spies in disguise, by thyself or by thine ministers. Right? In other words, your plans aren't divulged to others. You always want to make sure that until a plan is really in place, you don't really divulge it to anybody who needs to know it to make it work. Because even as soon as you propagate it, it's in the air. Once you've said it, it's as if it's been done. So if you say it enough, then the problem comes is that you always, like you see, there's always the big fanfare. Yeah, we're going to do this, and we're going to do that, and so much, and it never happens. Why? Because it had already happened in speech. So that's why only the people that need to know, that get it done, should know, and until it's happening, then it's all this.
We know that women are people who are of the quality of women cannot keep a secret because they're being cursed not to keep secrets. So should they be in councils? Should they be in administration? Because obviously it has a lot to do with planning and keeping the plan confidential and not speaking about... Because we have this topic about confidentiality and people sign confidentiality agreements. And, you know, the same day, the very same instant, you know, confidentiality was breached. So you figure like the scorpion, you know, on the or on the camel or whatever. It's just like it's the nature; you can't help it. Mm-hmm. So what's the Vedic view on that? I mean, there's certain
means
councils
where women are involved in the Vedic. Women work with women. Women give witness for women. Women do everything for women. They don't function in the men's world because they're already influencing the men that they work with. So even in the Vedic, you would generally stick to women who are connected to men, who are protected. Women who are unprotected, the only ones that you would probably take some counsel from would be women sadhus. But women who are socially dysfunctional, they would not be part of anything to do with anybody else's lives. But otherwise, the women's circle moves with the women because they know that. But they don't have the influence on the men's world. They already have it, so that's the cheating. They have influence on the men, plus they want to directly do it. So it's cheating. So it wouldn't happen like that. Like that. Thou ascertainest, I hope, what thy friends, foes, and strangers are about. Right? So you have to know where everybody thinks. Friends, because you want to, you know, continue that and see that they're satisfied, your foes, that they can't disturb your friends, and then the strangers, you know, who they are, why they're there, and everything like that. Makest thou peace, then makest thou war at proper times. So, means, in other words, peace is always preferred, but if it doesn't work, then the next best is war. Right? You can try going through some of Dana Beta Dunda, like that, but if you're in a strong position, you just go from peace to war, because those two get something done. Gifts, splitting up sides may work, may not work. You know, it doesn't necessarily work. But that's like where you see Karna. It's either peace or it's war, right? But Shakuni, he wanted to use the other ones because he knows it makes the most trouble, right? All these in-between diplomacies like that. Observest thou neutrally towards strangers and persons that are neutral towards thee? Right? In other words, a stranger, you don't know them, so don't make an opinion. You just deal with them because you don't really know who someone is. Once you talk, you get to know them, then you find out. Because many times someone who's cultured will present themselves as very ordinary, and then you won't really know who they are. And then if you make a mistake... That's why you see in India, the culture is, you don't know somebody, you deal with them very, very nice and respectfully, like that. As you find out about them, then they might start to adjust where you go. That's why sometimes, you know, they're so nice to you and then they start being not nice. That's because they figured out who you are, like that. While the Western tends to not deal nice, and only when they find out who you are, then they go, you know. Then they start to be nice to you, like that. And, O hearers, hast thou made persons like thyself, persons that are old, continuant in behavior, capable of understanding what should be done and what should not, pure as regards birth and blood, and devoted to thee, thy ministers? In other words, this is the quality of a minister. Persons like thyself, in other words, like-minded people that have an equal goal, that are old. Old means in some way, either by age, by experience, by sacrifice, by knowledge. Right? In other words, they have qualities that there's maturity, so they can actually have an understanding of how to deal with the material energy. Like that. Understanding what should be done and what should not. Because if you can't tell the difference, And here, what should be done means according to Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. What should not means what opposes that. Right? Then pure as regards birth and blood. So they're coming from a good background and this and that. So as devotees, we don't worry as much about that. But it may be looked into. Right? Because if the background is very dysfunctional, when push comes to shove, the person might have difficulty. Right? Under stress, they might have difficulty. If they've proven that they've gone beyond that, somehow or another, they've only taken birth in a funny family, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. You know, just like birth. Vidura, his birth, you wouldn't consider great. But because of his knowledge and maturity, he's taken in that way. But most others who are born in that situation, you never hear of them becoming ministers. Right? So that's the Vedic thing. You first look at that, see what is the background. But if they've completely overcome that, you know that it's only due to some offense. It means you may have a great personality, but he makes mental offenses, right? Then the reaction is they'll be born in low-grade families. Right? So then if you see someone is very elevated, born in a low-grade family, and they don't act in any way like that family, then you understand there was a mental offense, that's why they were born there. Not because they actually had the particular likings and of that particular kind of family. Does that make sense? So then you take it from there and don't worry about that. But otherwise, you first look at it. And you have others, they'll look at it. That's why in ministers and there, even though the person is good, you have to make sure that others are satisfied. And devoted to thee, right? So, like mentality, but they want to work with you. Because if they don't, then it'll be a problem. How they'll be a minister. O Bharata, the victories of kings can be attributed to good counsels. Right? So that's why. Because good counsel, then it'll be good. You can't take good counsel, then you'll always have problem. Because you can see so much, but others have different perspectives. You want to broaden that. That's why a king keeps generally 9 ministers. Right? So then him with the others with 10 perspectives, he can get a full perspective on things. Then he can make a good decision. Like that. O king, is thy kingdom protected by ministers learned in shastras, keeping their counsels close? So, how do you say? Means if they know, if the ministers know shastra, they're going to give you better advice. So they don't know shastra, then you're simply dealing on what they've learned by dealing with it. In other words, the Shudra experience is all you have. So if they're really old and that, okay. But still then application has to be keeping Shastra in mind. So that'll be a problem if they don't know the Shastra like that. And keeping the counsels close. So then they're keeping everything very close. It's properly, it's done for the thing, and it's not being given out to others. Right? So it's very good. Are thy foes unable to injure it? In other words, the counsel that's there, the foes can't find fault in it. In other words, your ministers also know everything so well that they know also how to deal with the enemy, not just the king. So you have, if you have 10 people that know what they're doing, that's a strong kingdom. And you see, any time that kingdoms have been strong, it's because of their ministers. Like that. You know, you always hear about, who's that king? He has the Navaratna.
Vikramaditya.
Yeah, Vikramaditya. And his 9 ministers, they were called the Navaratnas, the 9 jewels, because each one was so perfect, like that. Interesting, each one represented one of the 9 planets, because each planet is also has its knowledge, like that. Means, in other words, each planet is in charge of a certain branch of knowledge. It has its own nature, it has everything. So his ministers even had to look like the planet. You know, so the minister that was like Saturn, like that, had that whole look. The one like Mars had that look. Everyone had that look. So it was, they were so, you know, fixed in their areas that they even looked the part. You know, so like that. Thou hast not become a slave of sleep. In other words, you just sleep. Whenever it's overly a slave of sleep, means you need sleep, you take it, but it's not that you are. You use it as a method or as an escape or anything like that. Wakest thou at the proper time, right? Do you get up at the proper time to, you know, properly perform thy duties and all that? You know, so means in other words, you have your day and must work according to a planned time, right? You know, if you have to get up earlier, you get up earlier. You get up later, then it's planned. You know, it's not that it's done. You know. conversant with pursuits yielding profit, thinkest thou during the small hours of night as to what thou shouldest do and what shouldest not do the next day? In other words, according to Manu, then the king at night, means all the ministers are gone, everybody's gone, he's already spent time with the family, then that's the time when he thinks himself. You know, like that, about these things, about what he should do, what he did yesterday, you know, and what worked and what didn't work, what he'll do tomorrow, and all those fine points like that, you know. So, in other words, yeah, when he's alone, therefore you find many times, you know, if you observe it, sometimes your best thoughts in that come when you know, you're in the bathroom or taking a shower, or that when you're alone. Because there's nothing else disturbing, no other points, and then they can just come up very neat. There's no obstacles to it, you know. Other people are there, management, so they don't come through. But there, nothing's there, so, you know, head is clean. There's only one pointed determination: I got to get to the toilet on time, you know. And once you've gotten to the toilet on time, then your mind is free, right? So then so many ideas come, right? So, like that. Thou settlest nothing alone, nor takest counsel with many. So in other words, you don't make a decision, a final decision of every import alone. You always discuss with the others that are privy to it. Nor do you take too much counsel, only those that you need to. You don't go around and act. The person who always asks everybody because he's unsure also gets nothing done. Right? The person who only asks those who he knows, gives that counsel, then he gets something done. And the person who does everything alone, then also it won't work for him. Right? He has to ask others. Otherwise, there's another perspective. If they agree, you know it's a strong plan. If they don't agree, means it doesn't mean your plan's bad, just means you have to accommodate other perspectives and bring it to a stronger position. The counsels thou hast resolved upon do not become known all over thy kingdom. In other words, the counsels means it's still secret, so it shouldn't be known by everybody, right? You're thinking it's secret that everybody in the office knows, you know, that, you know, what you're thinking or who you like or what like this. It's not like that. That means, you know, you weren't very careful like that. Commencest thou soon to accomplish measures of great utility that are easy of accomplishment. In other words, something that'll do the most good, practical good, and is easy to accomplish, you should do immediately. You may think, oh, those are easy, I'll do them later. No, those are the ones you should do immediately. The ones that are difficult and that, those you should take the time to come to a plan to make it, and then take it, because that'll take a long time to get done. So those things to do immediately, do it. Then people see something's going on, they're inspired, they you know, are enlivened, therefore they work harder. Then your long-term plans, the difficult ones, will come easier. And does that make sense? So in other words, never be lazy, right? Sleep is ignorance, and not accomplishing something is accomplishable and useful right now, you know, do it. In other words, the most important, the most useful, do immediately. Right? Then the most important but the most difficult, then you do those next. Right? Next means simultaneously, but this is taking time. Such measures are never obstructed, right? So then those things, are they not obstructed? It means one, they won't be obstructed, but are you seeing that they're not? Because those are important. You know, don't let a little thing comes up. It's easy, some little thing comes up, you stop it. No, it's easy, therefore get it done. Keepest thou the agriculturalist not out of thy sight, right? How you say it? Do they not fear to approach thee, right? The agriculturalists, because all your wealth is coming from them, basically, right? All your grains, because everyone has to eat. Without eating, you had a problem. So your agriculturalists grow all the food. Are they growing it properly? Are they having the facility to grow it properly? Are they protected? Does it all work nicely? Otherwise, then they'll cheat, they'll be lazy, they'll get out of hand. There's a lot of them. Right? By volume, they're your maximum amount of people. Like that. So you want to keep them. And do they not fear to approach thee? And so means they shouldn't have fear to approach. They should feel part of the family, right? That's the whole point, is the Vaishya's on the middle. He's in between two groups. It means you have Dvijas and you have the Shudras. But the Vaishya is kind of like both. In one sense, is they're leaders because of the economic position, but at the same time, they have interests and kind of a more of an emotional mentality like the Shudras. So you have to keep them, make sure that they're satisfied, because they can go either way. Like that. You always have to be very careful to see that they're there. And they feel comfortable. Like you see, if you have a picture, there is, let's say you have a head of state, right? And you say, you have, let's say, some educationalist, and they take a picture together, right? It's very, very formal, right? Let's say you have another minister of state with that head of state. It's formal. You have another head of state with the head of state. It's formal, but they try to present that they're very pleasant together, like that. But let's say you have head of state with a big industrialist. Oh, that industrialist is all smiles and it's all happening. He's more happening than the head of state. You understand? So, but if they don't feel they have that kind of access, they're inimical. Because of that connection with Shudra, then they'll act more like women. You know, you're either for us or against us, right? You know, there's nothing in between, like that. Brahmins, Kshatriyas can understand the guy in the middle. Vaishya Shudras can't. You're either for us or you're against us. There's nothing else. Does that make sense? Then, achievest thou thy measures through persons that are trusted, incorruptible, and possessed of practical experience, right? Trusted, then that's, you know them, they've proven. One, they've proven that they can get it done. Two, that they know the mentality, and that they're loyal. Incorruptible, they won't be disturbed by other things, but it doesn't mean that you're not providing the environment to get rid of corruption, right? And possessed of practical experience. They know how to get it done, they've gotten it done, they've shown they've gotten it done, and so they're the ones that should get it done. O brave king, I hope people only know the measures already accomplished by thee and those that have been partially accomplished and are awaiting completion, but not those that are only in contemplation and uncommenced. Right? In other words, what's done, everybody should know about. What is moving that people can see, that they should also know about. Those things that they can't see or you're still contemplating, that no one should know about. Right? Does that make sense? Because otherwise, then knowing about it, they may put an obstruction and stop it. Right? So therefore, one should be very, very sure, then only put it into motion. Because as soon as people know about it, then there can be obstructions. Therefore, something easy to accomplish, you know, that's very, very good, you put that into motion, no one's going to oppose it. And something more difficult, then more slowly, more carefully, it's all put together. Then when it's accomplished, then people know about it. Have experienced teachers capable of explaining the causes of things and learned in the science of morals and every branch of learning, been appointed to instruct the princes and chiefs of the armies. In other words, without this kind of education, then the princes who are going to be your leaders and the chiefs of the army, the whole thing will be useless. So unless you have, they're being taught by Brahmins, who can explain why things work and know the Shastra, every branch of learning, why things work and how the moral system works, how to define between how do you make the judgment. Does it fall this side or does it fall that side? Right, they call that, what is that? Match point, right? So how do you know which way it goes? So Brahmins who know that, they should be the ones training the princes, in other words, the Kshatriyas, and also all your commanders and, your main persons, like that. So therefore, your Rajguru, the priest who's going to run your Gurukul to train the kids, the family priests, the people who will give counsel to such people, like that. Your ministers who are Brahmins, they should be the ones that are doing like that. Buyest thou a single learned man by giving in exchange 1,000 ignorant individuals? Means In other words, take care of one learned person at the expense of 1,000 ignorant persons. Like that. In other words, you find someone who understands what's going on, can do it, you support him at the expense of 1,000 other people. Because you will get something done. You take the mass, you take that 1,000 people at the expense of that one, you will get nothing.
Vox populi.
Yes, in other words, vox populi doesn't work. Right? In other words, the vox populi, he's already explained who that populi is. That populi is your trusted ministers. That's your populi. Then their vox, that you take. Right? The other people, and but the people who do that are ones, that populi are ones who know how to relate and deal with the general populi. They know how to do that. Therefore, they're picked. So you see in the Vedic, better a handful or even one qualified person. You'll get more done than having a whole bunch of people that are not qualified. Very, very important point. Right? Very, very important point. Okay, we'll end here.
Om Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Shri Prabhupada ki,
Jai
Veta Bhakti Vrinda ki,
Jai
Nitai Gaura Prema Nandi.